Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are tuned in to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Shank, a.k.a. Moo, and Joan Adams, or Moonvine, will be joining us very shortly. The call-in number today is 347-205-9200. Our guest today is Insightful Nana, a.k.a. Kathy Griffith. We want to discuss women in business, the pros and cons of having a job versus being an entrepreneur, and much, much more. First of all, here is Moonvine.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Joan. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, it's always fun, and excited to have Kathy here tonight. That's fun.
It is.
She's always great.
She feels like an old friend, doesn't she?
Exactly. I was just thinking we were on the phone probably over a year ago and didn't really know each other, trying to figure out what to do next. So it's nice to have her here as an expert now.
Isn't that
exciting?
So cool.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me bring her on. Hello, Kathy.
Hello. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm glad you found us.
Yes. The time was getting short, but I found you.
Bless you.
Bless you, right.
Yeah, it's good to hear both of your voices.
How are you doing tonight?
Fine. Everything's... what's the weather like back in your territory? I'm in the mountain area. I'm in Utah. And the weather here has just been real warm and real dry. We haven't had rain for a bit, so it's been in the 90s to the 100s. And what is it like on the coast there?
Oh, we've been hot here today, for sure. Too muggy, too hot, and miserable for the children to play outside even. So
yeah.
Pretty hot, yeah.
I feel like
I'm in a sauna bath today.
Yeah, you ladies have a lot more humidity than I do. It's real dry here, so we don't fight the humidity, just the heat. We're kind of we're considered the high desert here. We're in the mountains, but we're still in the desert area, so it stays pretty dry. Well, I'm excited to talk about our subject today, women in business and entrepreneur, and share all of our experiences. And I think, from what I understand, that we have both, we all have similar experiences, and I think we're obvious, I was going to say mature enough, but old enough to maybe have gained some wisdom here that we can share with each other.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, tell us your story, first of all. That would be just great. You used to work in the workplace, and then something probably happened where you decided not to do that anymore.
Well, I came from a background. My father originally was a school teacher and left that and became a salesman and eventually developed his own business. And so when I was probably in the more formative years, my father never worked for anybody else. And he eventually bought a franchise, Taco Time franchise, and ran his own business. So I come from a family of six girls, and I'm the oldest of the six, and there is none of us that have stayed working for somebody else for very long. And we've all had our own businesses, and I think we gained that spirit by watching our father, the flexibility that he had, and other things. I guess even though I have been in the workplace at particular periods of time, I taught school for a number of years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was an art teacher. I graduated from Brigham Young University and was an art teacher for a number of years, but eventually, I just wanted to stay home and take care of my family. And at that period of time, we needed additional income, and I, for some reason, never thought about leaving the home. All my thoughts came to what can I do and still be in the home. And so that kind of took off, and I was a painter. I was a toll painter. I had taken some classes and loved to paint, and because, of course, it fit into my art background, and I studied European arts and rose mauling and all those kinds of things, and thought, well, what could I do in my home and still do that? And I had a friend, and we decided that we would do hand-painted magnets, believe it or not. And so we painted thousands and thousands of hand-painted magnets and sent them to somebody, and they put them into the gift industry. And so for, I would say, 4 or 5 years, that's what I did night and day. It seemed like night and day that I did hand-painted magnets, and they all had a little saying on them, and they went to the gift markets and were sold. And so it really, at that particular period of time, my husband had left his job, so I was the breadwinner, and I did it from a home-based business.
Wow.
And I did that for a number of years.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah. So, and there's advantages and disadvantages. I found that being home sometimes is not as romantic as people assume. I mean, you have to put some time aside for your business. And during those particular years, I found that I would work late into the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, because I had family to take care of. And so when young mothers have a home-based business, there are those kinds of sleep sacrifices you make to keep things going. And so I did that for a lot of years in order to be able to raise a family. And I look back now and I say, oh my gosh, I just neglected my kids. But my kids look at me and say, we don't know what you're talking about. They didn't seem to feel it, but I knew where there was gaps. You know, there wasn't times that I would sit down and read stories and things in the evening time. I just realized that they had gone to bed without a goodbye. So those were some of the disadvantages, but some of the advantages were that I could stop everything and go to a ball game or run over to the school or participate in things. And I think that's what's kept me in a home-based business, so to speak, is because I love the flexibility
mm-hmm.
of a home-based business rather than punching a clock for somebody else. I don't know. Have you gals had home-based businesses, or have you basically worked outside of the home?
Well, I worked outside of the home for, oh, goodness, I guess 30 years. And
uh-huh.
in a ton of different jobs, and then when my husband became legally blind. We worked together for a while for a company, and then we brought it home and started selling from the house. We were selling business forms and printing, and we just worked together from home and did it. And
mm-hmm.
from there, for the next 10 years or so, that's what, well, 15, I guess, we sold various products from long distance to in fact, at one point we even sold perfume, but we've sold a little bit of everything from home, Better Business Bureau and Chamber of Commerce and whatever we could get a hold of, just to be able to stay at home at that point. We needed to work together, and we needed to both be home.
Well, what did you find the advantages and disadvantages to be?
the hardest thing is that people don't realize you work at home. I mean, it's like, oh, you work at home, you're free. And
yes.
That took a number of years. I did medical transcription at home for many years, in addition to the other, and to have people understand, I can't talk to you right now, I'm fighting a deadline, you know. In fact, people don't drop by to see me anymore. They'll drop by to see him. And I know it's because so many times I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't visit. I'm fighting a deadline, and I've got to get this in, you know. And you just don't have any choice. That part was difficult for me because I did have deadlines. And I did stay up late lots of nights, you know, trying to get things done. But then on the other hand, I loved being able to be at home. You know, you can put dinner on and run back to the office and do something and go back. I go back and forth. My biggest trick is to put clothes in the wash. You know, I feel like I'm doing two things at once if they're clothes in the washer. you know, it's like, or running the dishwasher counts, you know, anything that's double time, you know. But yeah, so it has pluses and minuses. I think if I had it all to do over again, I would start out working at home. I think I wasted a lot of years. And of course, the internet wasn't ready at that point, that many years ago. The internet was not ready for us.
Right. Yeah.
Excuse me. Now, if I was 25 years old right now, I would be trying to develop something at least online in my spare time.
Yes. Yes. Well, we have been in the internet for the last year or two. Sometimes I get the feeling that it's saturated, and then when I look at the stats, that is definitely not the case.
No.
That the internet is just in its infancy as far as marketing and selling. And so it's a good time to get into that. And I think I would too. I would encourage someone to do something on the internet. I think that it gives them a tremendous amount of flexibility.
Well, it is, it is the new world.
Yes.
You know, it really is the new world. And I think there are a whole lot more people out there than there are people that are effective. I think people get out there and try and give up. And I think the trick is staying in there.
I don't think there is any business, whether you choose to have your business in your home or you're a woman who chooses to have a business and own a business outside of the home, you have to pay your dues. I don't think that in any way there's any kind of a quick fix. There was a period of time that I got really tired of being home. I felt very, I just felt that my life was very narrow. And I did leave the home for a couple of years when my older boys were in high school, and I was I worked for a company that did seminars. And I did the logistics for that. But, you know, when I finally made the decision to come back and be at home, my children were thrilled. My oldest ones were thrilled that I was going to be there. So I think the family really does like to have you around. Even if you're working at home, you're still there to answer questions and things. But I'm like you. I've had to really discipline myself because I did have deadlines like you had. And I think that was helpful. In fact, I don't set my own deadlines. I mean, all my deadlines were set outside of myself, and I think that was helpful.
Yeah.
After my kids were older, I started to do books. I started to do toll painting books, and that's when I got used to the passive income. And I would do the books. There was a gentleman who was in the craft industry, and it's when toll painting was really hot at that time, and I'd had some painting background and art background, so I wrote instruction books, and of course they go out, and if I was on a royalty basis only, and if they sell, they sell, and if they don't, they don't. But I got kind of used to that passive income because I could do the book and meet that deadline, and then income would come in from that sometimes over a period of a year or more as those books sold and they reprinted them.
Were they done like through one of the published as needed?
Yes. No.
No.
They would publish. When I first started with them, they were publishing maybe 15,000, 20,000. But the time that I ended with them, they were almost up to 100,000. And some of those books would go, over a period of a year before that book was, slowed down. But in the meantime, I added more books and added more books, and so my income kept coming, and with passive income. He finally wanted designers to come in-house. He wanted to hire a couple of designers to come in-house and be more closely related to that industry. And I did leave the home for that period of time, but it was only upon the agreement that my income would still be royalty-based, because I knew that if I made good, if they made good, I'd make good.
Right.
And so I went in for minimum wage that just put me on the insurance rolls for a bit. But, every product we put out, I would get royalty. And sometimes it was two cents for a piece of wedding scrapbook paper. But those 2 cents added up, and I really did have a real fine income. But I was in that, did that for over 10 years. And then they sold the company, and I just didn't care for how things were going to be run, so I ended up coming home and doing some freelancing here. But the passive income has really kept me afloat as I've started new businesses and started my, internet business. And so I think that's what attracted me to the internet business, was opportunity for passive income. Mm-hmm. That if you've got something really going there, that you would have passive income. And so that was my hold in order to get into internet marketing.
So right now, as far as passive income, are you writing e-books?
Yes, I've written a couple of e-books and so forth. I have kind of diverted a little bit from that, and I'm doing a bit of niche marketing. And one thing is that if I had known what I know now when it comes to the internet business, I would have probably done a little more homework. I just kind of dived right in and, mm-hmm. come what may. And because I didn't realize how many strategies there are for internet marketing. Mm-hmm. And I went with a mentor, and I was started in one direction and switched to another direction, and then there was another direction, and I kind of wasted a lot of time the first couple of years. But, for instance, if you're into internet marketing, you can go into blog marketing, where you just blog and hope that your blog becomes famous enough that large advertisers want to advertise on your blog. And that was the direction that I was taken, but that's a real slow process. And then there is email marketing or relationship marketing, and I think that's what Pat O'Brien encourages, and as a different type of marketing. And of course, there's niche marketing. I've kind of become attracted a little bit to the niche marketing because it's passive income. Once you get it down, you kind of let that niche go by, and you start another niche. And I see a little bit greater possibilities there than some of the other strategies that I've tried in the past.
And I think it is all relationship, too. I mean, everything that you're talking about just incorporates relationships right with it. So. And that's the beauty of the internet. I think the longer we are on the internet doing what we do, we create a following. People trust us. And after a while, it just becomes easier to sell whatever it is that we are selling. I think
Well, there's no doubt that the relationships make a tremendous difference.
Social marketing has been just amazing for that.
Uh-huh.
Twitter and Facebook and all the others.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and those things are just in its infancy. You know, when Twitter first came out, you know, I didn't pay any attention to Twitter, but I really have understood the power of Twitter to direct mm-hmm. people in any kind of direction. And you do build relationships there. And
Charlie Latham is in the chat room, and she says, quote, "Your marketing strategy should be a combination of types to ensure that you aren't just relying on one stream for traffic and customers." Well, that makes perfect sense.
Sure.
Thank you, Charlie. That's great.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely. You cannot just depend on one particular thing to get us over the hurdles. One thing about internet marketing, I think Joan, you mentioned it, is that you cannot give up. It is, I think the stats say that only 1% of people really make a good income, and I think it's because they give up too soon.
I do too. I really do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's why those percentages are so low, is because the people, it's like publishing in hardback, as I call it, but
mm-hmm.
the publishing world, you know, the people that succeed are the ones that collect the most rejection letters.
Yes.
The same principle. It's a matter of doing it again and again and again and again, and staying with it even when the world tells you this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Just downright digging your heels in and getting a little bit stubborn about it, which
yeah.
I feel like
now,
I've done.
I think that the learning curve, I came from into a real creative area into quite a technical area, which certainly challenges the different side of my brain, because I'm not a technical person. So the learning curve has been extremely steep for me. I would certainly rather I'd rather create product than I would to promote myself or you know, because that's what comes easy for me. But I have just really had to buckle in, and as much as I haven't wanted to learn the technical part, it's just been a necessity.
Yeah.
Even if you have someone else do it for you later on, you better know it enough to know what they're doing or ask them to do. You
right.
Know,
you have to know what it is you want.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest challenge for this has been that was really different when, like Joan, I had deadlines. I had deadlines when I was working in the craft industry there. I mean, we would get an email from Michael's Craft Stores and said, we want this product and we want these designs within the next 2 days or yesterday. And we just were creating on demand and we just met deadlines. That was good for me in a way because I really learned what it was like to start and to complete a cycle,
mm-hmm.
to complete a cycle. I think that's been a challenge for me in the internet marketing is because I don't, you know, I'm my own deadline setter.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been as good about setting my own deadlines to complete cycles. And so I get too many things going at one time
mm-hmm.
and don't focus. And I have to back up and say, okay, I'm confused here, and confusion usually comes because you have just too many open cycles. And I have had to back up and take a look.
Confusion comes, say that again, because you have too many open...
Well, I just had too many open cycles, too many things going at one time that were not completed, and too many things that were loose-ended. When I do that, I get real confused, and I lose focus, and I just don't do well. But if I can set a deadline for myself in a particular area and stick until that's completed, then I do better. I'll give you a cycle example. Some people in the internet can't just get started. They just can't start. And so I think with any business, no matter what it is that you have to have the ability to start. I've never had a hard time starting something. It's generally, you know, all the things that are still left in my basement that I'm going to get back to. It's the finishing thing.
Yeah.
But some people can't start, but I liken it to starting a car. And if you start a car and you pull out of your driveway and then you pull back into the driveway, you eventually stop the car and put it into the garage. So you've started a cycle. you're in the middle of that cycle, which is change, and then you stop the cycle and it's complete. But if you don't stop the car, if you start and you don't start the car, stop the car, or complete the cycle, then you drive through the back of the garage, over the neighbor's yard, into the next street, and you've created chaos. So there really is something magical about starting and stopping a cycle. I find that when I cook, if I start and I'm scrambling eggs and I bring the salt shaker and I take the salt shaker out of the cupboard, if I put the salt shaker not back in the cupboard, that cycle is still open. So by the time I get through cooking, I've got a mess in my kitchen because I have so many unfinished cycles, and then you've got to stop and clean up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
it does,
yeah. I just figure in business, whatever we do is to take a look. When we get confused and upset and lots of confusion, it's probably because we have too many cycles open. We need to back up and finish something and then finish something and finish something. And that has been a hard one for me because I haven't set my own deadlines, which I am doing better. I'm doing better about now that I'm not letting outside. We've all been pretty active on a couple of forums, and I've had to kind of back off on the forums because it was a distraction to ending a cycle for completion. Because you can get on that internet. Oh my heavens! There's just a world out there that you can be interested in.
In the hours.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I've had to discipline myself to say, okay, that's okay, but it's going to be for 5 minutes a day at this particular time because I am getting this done, and I've been a lot better in getting articles and things written, and I'm just finishing up some e-books now. But it's just taken me a while to really realize that I just was going in too many different directions.
Yes, I feel that we... with Spadu, I feel that way a little bit. I'm sure Joan would say that she feels that way too. But you have to be careful of taking on too much. You know, Spadu, we are doing the lenses, and we've both become giant 100. So there's a certain responsibility with that. But I think we found our niche in that. There's so much to do there. But we have another radio show that we've created on Monday, and we're going to do it every Monday night at 4 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time, where all the giant squids and all the people who are interested in just be doing lenses and becoming giants get on this open mic, the open mic where we discuss really interesting internet-related topics like the keywords, which I know that you have talked about for many years, and how to best utilize keywords in your lenses and back, and how to, backlink it back to your blogs, and how to make money on the internet with your lenses is what this seems to be the discussion. We just had our first one last night, and we were going to just do it once a month, but I think we're going to do it every week now.
I think that brings up another point, and that is I think it's wise, whatever you're doing, is to have some type of a partner that you can talk to.
Oh, yes.
You know, some kind of a vehicle that you can discuss things. My sister is involved, and so we talk two or three times a day, and we just help each other and can bounce ideas and things off. And so I think absolutely having somebody that you can partner with in terms of just discussion and running ideas back is just really critical, no matter, when and how you start a business. That's critical.
Yeah.
So, sure you're very happy that Sylvia has gotten involved with that with you.
Yes. Yeah. She's been good. She has been good. You're a nurse and working still. Are you still working full-time?
I am working full time, and that's not
a challenge to try
hard
to get both fit in.
Yeah, and I do. I love my patients, but I know it's time to move on at some point, not sure when. And I just, well, like this Monday night radio show, we're learning how to monetize. And as soon as I get it, the fat, I mean, entered the internet realm with, you know, internet marketing in 2006. So I've been plodding along and trying to understand certain things. And then I switched over from a Windows to a Mac, and I'm, and there's a learning curve with that, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not going to give up. And as I wanted to say earlier, my accountant says that if you start a business and it doesn't really make money in 3 years, then you might as well give it up. Well, no, I'm not going to give it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you're doing it on such a part-time basis, Kate. I mean, you produce an amazing amount of work to have a full-time job.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I don't think 3 years applies to you.
Oh, my gosh. And I know you're the article queen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do my best. I do my best. And I love it. So I'm not about to give up because I do love it. So.
Well, I just think it's just getting and finding our niche or the area that we feel comfortable with and really pursuing that for, you know, to monetize. I think anything can be monetized. It's just taking what do you enjoy the most, I think. And you've apparently have really enjoyed the lenses and need to know, learn how to monetize that. Absolutely.
Well, apparently it's quite an art form. And you can make money on Skidoo. It's an art form, so, and it's also technical. There's a lot of technical stuff with it. So, you know, it's fascinating. Truly fascinating. You know, that keyword stuff is like a jigsaw puzzle, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. In fact, that's what I've spent the last 2 days is just been doing keyword searches.
Oh, really?
That's what I have done is just narrowing down this niche to its lowest common denominator for keywords that are the that have the least competition and have an awful lot of people looking. And so that's the process that I've been doing, and I have just located a couple of niches that really are have a lot of viewers or searchers, but the those particular keywords don't have as very many don't have very much competition.
And that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah,
I think I don't take nearly enough time to do that.
Yeah,
that's a discipline. That is definitely a discipline.
So I've been doing that. So doing that, I found a pattern of something that is really lacking in these particular niches. That I think, ebook. Ebook's going to come right in there. But that's just come from, you know, just really diligent keyword searching. And what keyword tools do you guys use?
I'm using AdWords, and then my regular search box.
Yeah, that's what I've been using. The AdWords
like
keyword search.
Akeem was talking last night about just using the Google box, I think.
Yeah.
Google.
You combine that with the AdWords. You do the AdWords first and see, and then you go to see what the volume is, and then you go to the search to see what the competition is the way I'm understanding it.
Right.
It is such
now,
a mystery.
When you do your competition search, when you go to Google and you type in the subject or the keyword in Google, are you putting it in parentheses?
No.
Or how about quotations?
Excuse me. I meant quotations. I beg your pardon. I meant quotations.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay.
No problem. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that has made a real difference. But
that narrows it down, so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so it is a little bit more powerful, but that's what I've been spending my time doing. And
what is your niches are you exploring, or are you unable to say at this time?
Well, right now I have a blog, and And I, a year ago, put up a video. In fact, it was the worst video that I had done. I almost didn't do it. It was dark, and it just didn't turn out as nicely as I wanted to. I've got about 25 videos, 30 videos on YouTube. And this particular video was on lavender, and I was showing them how to make a lavender sachet. But I had offered a tag. Being a designer, I just designed a fun tag that they could attach to their lavender sachets to give them away. And in order to get that lavender sachet, of course, they have to opt in, right? I mean, to get the tag, they would have to opt in. So I have been amazed over the year, the list that has come in from that video onto my site, and I have built a list. I have built a list of over 300 women just off of one video.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And I just didn't know. It was something I didn't pay attention to, and all of a sudden, you know, it would be two or three a day or not one a day or something of that nature. And I have really found the power of using YouTube, too, as a source for list building. I probably get six, seven people a day that just come in. That, I mean, I'm not after or anything, but they're just coming off of my YouTube videos.
In various
niches or various lists, like I did the same thing. I do my recipes. If you want the recipes in print, then you've got to opt in. So my chocolate brownie recipe, boy, I tell you, they want that one that they can print. But anyway, then I just realized, I mean, what's going on here? There's some strength there. And so that's what I've been doing. My research is on lavender. And I think it's something that is very viable for me, for a small niche.
I've been thinking my next niche is going to be heirloom garlic, and then another type of basil that is, I think it's called sacred basil. And then the third one would be stinging nettle. And because we grow the stinging nettle on our property, and we have a garlic farm now. And the YouTube video thing, I was going to just ask you a quick question. I've been making YouTube videos that has nothing to do. Basically, I went to celebrate my aunt's 100th birthday and made a few videos for her. I noticed that when you put it up on YouTube, it says you can edit it. Now, I didn't want to go fool around with that video because I didn't want to destroy that video. Probably I wouldn't. But it seems like can you go in there and start typing a web page, or can you type?
Well, what I do is that I do my video, and then I upload it to iMovie because I've got a Mac. My editing in iMovie.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. In iMovie, when I completely get my video finished, at the beginning, at the end, you can go in and put text that will come across the video, the end of the video.
Mm-hmm.
You can type that text in. So what I do is I'm kind of winding down. I tell people that, you know, thank you for coming to Insightful Nana. If you want more information, go to my blog, however I want to direct them.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, go to insightfulnana.com and there's recipes there, there's fun ideas, there's the blah, 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 blah. And that comes up as I'm talking about it. It also comes up on the screen as text.
Wow, that's really cool. Okay.
Because I can put the text there. And then another thing that a little tip that I got when I didn't learn this early on in the videos, but a little bit later, is that in the videos it always asks you for a description. And I have learned the first thing that I put in that description is my URL for my website.
Right.
Okay. And that, because that shows you, you're only going to see about 25 words. So if you put it at the end, people are not going to see that, you see. But if you put it right at the very beginning, that's one of the first things they see that they can, you know, if they have any questions, they just can click on that, and it becomes live, and it just goes right to my blog or squeeze page or wherever I'm directing them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. And the other thing I have learned is that I make my descriptions long. Even though you only see the top 20 words or so, you make them long and just pack it with keywords because Google picks up on those keywords.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even in the videos, mm-hmm. In the video descriptions. So I have learned to use my keywords and make sure there's lots of keywords. And the longer, it's kind of like to sales letters, I say, you know, make your sales letters long, but you make those descriptions long, which I didn't realize in the beginning. And that seems to help too. But I get Google alerts. Do you get Google alerts?
Yes.
Yes.
Because when my Insightful Nana Google alerts show up, it's usually coming from videos that people have taken, and my videos people are using all over the place.
Yeah, I'm going to take some of your videos. I'm going to make a lens about this show, and then I'll take some of the videos that you're talking about and put them in the lens, mm-hmm. and it'll be interesting to see if you get Google alerts on that.
Yes, it will be, because sometimes I will go on to AWeber and look at my stats for people coming to my list, and I think, whoa, how come that person came in on Christmas magnets? Or how come that person came in on, and as I check into it, I'm finding that somebody has posted some of those videos for whatever reason, and it has driven traffic to my site. And then they've signed in, you know, for that particular product or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
I really think that is I find that the videos to be a good tool to direct traffic.
Upload the video onto YouTube, and then you download it or whatever onto your iMovie, and then do the editing.
No, you do your editing in iMovie first.
Okay.
And then you put your text and your type in, and then you upload it to YouTube, and then you put your descriptions and so forth in.
Okay, I got it.
But iMovie has just been wonderful. You learn how to. I understand it's one of the best editing tools, and I find I can get through it pretty fast. At the beginning, there was a little bit of a learning curve, but I can get I just upload from my camera right mm-hmm. onto iMovie, and I edit and put my text on, and then I upload to YouTube.
Thank you. That's great.
So,
well, I can tell you.
I think there's lots of ways, and you know, I've learned all those things by being on the forums and having discussions with people, like you've just mentioned, on phone calls, and we just help each other and move along.
Well, that's the beauty. It's totally the beauty of what we're doing, is that there is so much help and so much love and so much courtesy too and respect. So it is, like Joan says, it is a whole new world. It's a new world of people wanting to cooperate instead of being in competition. And if people are mm-hmm. in competition, you don't want to hang out with them. And
right.
So we have surrounded ourselves with people who are helping each other, and it is a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. And then, you know, there's a whole new thought movement too. It's actually not a new thought movement. It's been going on for a long time, but it seems to be really taking off on the internet, and we can learn from those people. And we have a mm-hmm. lot of those people on the show, and it's just
mm-hmm.
it's been very enlightening to me to think about just the way of expanding consciousness and not being stuck in a rut of negative thinking. So that's
I think it seems to have permeated the internet market. I see it more than in the tangible market.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I was going to say, is it relationships and we can't, is it because we don't see each other? Or is there just really a spirit that is there? I feel like there's just a real good spirit. I think there's a good internet spirit.
It's that, and I think, too, when you're writing, you generally write from your soul. So you know people on a different level, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out and go to a party tonight and not reveal anything of yourself.
Yes.
You know.
Right.
I
think that's true. But I think there's something else missing, Joan, and that is once you get past and you build that relationship, I would like to meet everybody in person because I love their physical energy.
Yes, yes. And I think
that's the next step for people. Uh-huh.
Right, right. I think you draw the people with like interests, mm-hmm. and
uh-huh.
then you naturally like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the next step. Do you know that Kate's coming to meet me in April? We've never met.
Oh, my heaven's sakes.
Is that exciting?
Can you believe that? Can you believe we've never met? And then can you believe we're actually going to meet? It's so cool.
Well, do you know what? I'll have to say the first time I saw Joan's picture was on a forum. And I said, I like that lady. She's my kind of gal. And I contacted her.
Yeah.
Nice. Sure, nice.
Yeah.
I said that just before you came on the air. I was thinking, was that a year ago or was it 2 years ago? You and
I
were on the telephone.
It's been almost 2 years.
Huh?
It's been almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Was it on that site of something about the women?
No, it wasn't. It was on Pat O'Brien's first forum.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
On the PEU. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was. That's another relationship. That is the most amazing thing to me. There's so many people I met at Pat's university that have continued to be valid relationships, treasured relationships. It is amazing that he draws, and I think everybody has that experience. I don't know how he does that.
I think that's a real credit to him.
Yeah.
That he, I don't know what drew me to him except that he was so casual and, I guess, my kind of guy.
Right.
Wasn't stiff. And I thought, wow, this is a person I'm just curious about. But I think his naturalness and his sincerity has drawn those kind of people. That's how I met Rob, and that's how I met Klaus from Denmark. I met those two men on comments on his blog.
Right.
Oh, really?
Is that interesting?
Yeah, from the comments they made on his
Pat's blog.
Yeah, on
that's
Pat's blog. We made some comments, and I had a question. I asked Pat the question, and Rob answered me. And then Klaus had a question. I answered him, and we formed that relationship before Pat had his new forum.
How about
that?
We were communicating. Yeah.
And you met Trapper.
Yeah,
Isn't that cool?
Meet Trapper.
Oh,
yes.
I think he is a sweetheart, isn't he? I mean, I've never met him.
Yeah,
he's been on the show. He's just such a cool dude, isn't he?
Yes, we met. He said he was coming to Utah, and I'll tell you, it was 15 minutes away from my house. And my sister Sheila and I said, "Hey, we're gonna go meet our boyfriend." We met on the internet. She waved goodbye to her husband, and we went to dinner. And we were in a restaurant, and we went in at 6 o'clock, and at 10:30 we looked around, and they were mopping the floor, and oh my gosh, and we had a good time. And that was one of those things where you get to know somebody, and then to be able to meet them in person really was the icing on the cake.
Right,
that
right.
You know, this is a topic in and of itself when you think about it,
right. This
whole online relationship thing. And you can understand why people go on the internet to meet each other with their relationships. I mean, it took me a long time to understand that.
Yeah.
But now I totally understand it because so many people you can't meet. How would you actually meet people if you were looking for them? I can't imagine that I ever would. But if you have to go to a bar or you have to go somewhere and have somebody introduce you and go to some stupid date, but on the internet, you can talk to them for a while before you would ever decide. You can get people's vibrations very easily by talking to them online.
I think like minds attract like minds, and I've never seen it happen any quicker than we have on the internet. It's happened very, very quickly.
Yeah,
and
right.
Those people who don't, you just fall away and you don't pay any attention to anymore. So, yeah.
Oh, and Charlie just said that, which I think you do, Kathy, is you embed your sign-up form into your video. Is that what you do?
Anyway, what was that?
Do you embed your sign-up form into your video?
No, I don't. I drive them to my blog. And on my blog, there is, I make the offer on my blog in my posts. I use a lot of my posts, and I have opt-in boxes on my posts.
Right,
Not just on the main page itself, but I just did a, there's one that's up right now that's on potato salad in the cooking category. And if you go to InsightfulNana.com, you'll see the potato salad recipe, and if you want that, I describe it. I give the ingredients and everything right there, you know, as part of the blog post. But I say if you want a printed copy that you can put in your recipe box, then you sign in.
I
have an opt-in box on that post. It's worked very well for me to build a list.
Now, what Charlie is saying is that she actually has the sign-up form on her video itself, and apparently, and she has it in the chat room. Are you able to look at the chat room, Kathy?
No.
Okay. It's HTTP and stretchyourmindandbody.com/blog/brand video. So did you get that? stretchyourmindandbody.com/blog/brand video. And then she said that that particular link is a redirect affiliate link,
okay,
which is pretty clever.
Can you give that to me? Again, stretchyourmindandbody.
Yes, .com/blog/brand video. And so she's, what she says is when people sign up, they are then directed to our website.
Oh, wow. Okay,
but
I will check into that.
She is a technological genius, Charlie Leeson.
As well as everything else.
I mean, it's not just technological. She's just...
Right.
She's a Renaissance woman.
Well, that's good to know.
Yes, she is. Look into that. That's great.
I sure would like that. Okay.
We would like each other. She obviously has come to the show tonight to learn from you and for you to learn from her. So.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I will look into that and see what we can do. I do follow her on Twitter. And so it's been fun. Joan, I'll have to say, I go to Twitter just to see what new hat you've got on.
And I haven't had one on lately, Kathy. I've got to get Nancy working on that. My sister designs my beautiful hats.
Oh, my gosh. They are wonderful.
Thank you. They're fun. They're just kind of crazy, something to do. And, well, it's an interesting thing, but you know what?
I thought, what a clever marketing ploy. Look at, you know, you look to see what that lady's got on next here.
and really, we just did it for fun.
Yeah.
We just started out doing it just to be silly, and
people really love it.
People do like it. They get a kick out of it, and it's.
Yeah.
We started that. What was it? Christmas last year, and we've gone all through the year. We've hit a lag in holidays, and I'm anxious to see what she's going to do with me for Halloween, but
Well, I need to spend some time and just check out Twitter and just know how to utilize that better. I need to spend some time and research that, so I've just been kind of weak in that area.
Yeah, I like the book called Twitter Power.
That's
by
exactly
Joel,
what I was going to say.
J-O-E-L, Joel Comm, C-O-M-M. It's, I think, probably one of the best books on the subject.
Okay.
I think so, too. And And yet
yeah.
some of it's over my head, and I have it sitting right here. And, you know, I think, okay, when I'm ready to go up to another stage, I'll read some more.
Right.
Exactly.
It's a research.
Another step.
Kind of a, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you're not going to grasp it all at one time.
No.
Well, he's a
no,
guy
he
with
can't.
A tremendous, he, Joe Kahn has a tremendous following, you know, many, many people, and he actually communicates with people, even if he has this huge following. So I think it's a, he's a real mentor, a Twitter mentor.
Yeah,
well, and that one of the most important things I think he said was, you know, just get out there and try to help somebody every day.
Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
You know, that just that's just nice, practical, common sense.
Yes, it always comes back, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and it just is in line with exactly what we were saying. He has the that attitude that we were just discussing, and that's why I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, ladies, it has been wonderful. Are we on an hour? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we have 4 minutes remaining. It's,
oh.
it's been a wonderful, wonderful hour, for sure.
Yes.
It has. And a tribute again to Pat. I mean, here are the three of us.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Pat O'Brien. Yes.
And
I love the people in the forum, too. They're all sweet. They're all kind.
Yes. Joan, I haven't seen you on the forum for a long time.
No, I've been
just... You've had to make some decisions too, haven't you?
I just had to. I just got so tangled up, and I had too many irons in the fire. It's Skidoo, and I just had to back off. I can't do it all.
And I backed off, too. I'm just, like I say, I'm just kind of winding things down and getting rid of some things so I can just finish up some cycles, and then I can try again. So
yeah, I mean, I haven't forgotten it. I haven't forgotten everybody out there. It's the minutes, and I have to decide how my minutes are going to go.
Well,
right.
The forum hasn't been tremendously busy, I've noticed.
No, I think everybody
it's a summer,
is working.
You know?
It's working. I think that they're not doing other things. I think they're down to business, and I think that's good.
I think it's time to get to business, yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
And I think, too, that all of those things ebb and flow, whichever forms you're on. They all seem to have a high and a low and a high and a low, and that's okay, too. You know, I don't have a problem. I would pop back in there in a minute and expect to be totally welcome. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
They'd
yes.
say, where have you been?
I don't think it's a big shock to do that to people and say, you know, I got busy and I hadn't been here, and everybody understands that.
Yes.
Well, my friends, it is at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
Kathy, you do know that we are playing Klaus Jensen's music. www.music4women
Mother and Child.
Mother and Child. Oh, dear, that just went out my mind. And he has a partner named Henrik Abu.
Jensen.
I think that's his name.
Yeah.
Let's see. Henrik Abu, I think. I have to take a look at that. But, of course, it's Klaus Jensen. And he's a very talented, multi-talented man, that's for sure.
Oh,
so I'm
going to
play, kind, wonderful man. I'm going to play the longer version of that tonight. So if you want to just stick around and listen, please do.
I sure will.
And thank you very, very much. It's been wonderful to connect with you in this way.
Yeah. Well, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Yes, it is. Totally is. Now, what I will, again, this will go on iTunes. It will go, I will Twitter about it. I will make a lens about it eventually. And it's cool the way it goes right on to iTunes.
Great.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.